Okay, welcome back. This is going to be a fun hour. It has to be. It has to be 25 years ago or thereabout that John Leonard Walson first appeared on this program. I don't know how we got acquainted. I don't know how I first saw some of the astonishing photographs. He's an astrophotographer, space. How these photographs came to be is a story in and of itself, but we'll talk more about that a little later. I think it was around 2005, 2007, when John was first on. And then a period of maybe about 10 years went by, and he just sort of dropped off the radar. He never stopped working. This man is fearless. And rolling back the darkness of space to reveal large machines. I'll call them machines. You can call them spaceships, whatever you want. Don't necessarily think E.T. Just think large machines up there. They don't look like Buck Rogers spacecraft or Star Wars streamlined objects. They're not aerodynamic, but they are obviously, painfully, clearly of intelligent construction. And if you go to guests and look in hour three tonight, look under John's name, and scroll down to the bottom where it says photos and pull that up. That's a piece I put up around 5-6 years ago, something like that. And there are a lot of pictures in there that John took early on with his trusty telescope and his incredible adaption of a video camcorder. And he was doing things late at night all by himself up on the hills in England that no one else has ever done. That got him noticed, and his life began to change. We'll talk more about that as well. John, can you hear me all right over there? Thanks for getting up early.
I've been up waiting for you, man. I'm as bright as a button.
Very good. It's good to hear you again. It's been since 2017, I think, something like that, the last time you were on. It's been a while.
I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to just, if it's okay, thank my friend. He's amazing. He wrote the book, John.
Yes.
If it wasn't for him, you know, he's done a miracle job doing that. Thank you so much, John. And there's going to be a few people that are not mentioned tonight that's listening. I wanted on the show with me, but I thank you all for helping me, like Marcel, Raph, you know, Duncan Davis, the lot. There's loads of people, and especially Rex. Rex, he knows who he is, if he's listening. And I love you, brother. And I just want to say that. You know, we've had such an amazing few years since I last spoke to you, and it's been just an incredible flow of, you know, adventures. There's a gentleman called Raph, information I'll send you later, but he's starting something called X1 Ops, and he's been very helpful to me as well, and basically he's helped me shuffle me back and forth with his vehicle to help me get to places so I can get to this beautiful person in London where Carrie Chesky just had her last conference in London, and we got there. It was a miracle that we got there, and what happened was I got my equipment out and I handed it to the owner of the manor house that the conference was at, and I gave her my equipment in her hand and I pointed up to the sky. Within 6 seconds I was showing her where to look, and she found an object instantly. She was looking at it, she got so excited, and all of a sudden it split into two in front of her eyes. Everybody found it. It's all recorded on a special piece of equipment, which is infrared, and which is thermal and infrared mixed together. And I've combined it so it records at once. So you get
that's some real science, John. You've always been an innovator. That's remarkable. Good.
Yeah, so you get both images at once, and she's going, it's split into two, and I'm going, I can see it on my monitor, that's incredible, and she's you know, screaming, you know, she's a wonderful lady, she's, you know, I don't know if she wants me to mention her name, but I think, you know, it's okay to mention her place. It's Kirsty, I think you may have heard of her. She holds all of the UK conferences there, and I just couldn't believe it. You know, it was an amazing thought that someone else in seconds could actually see what I could see, and the verification in seconds that somebody else was doing it. And you know, if I could meet you or anyone, I could guarantee in seconds that they would be seeing these spacecraft.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty busy up there. It is,
man. I mean, you know, the same equipment that the U.S. Navy are using and catching all these UAPs on. I've got that exact equipment, but more, and I'm modifying it to mix it together. Not just they're using thermal when they've got thermal on the end of their actual nose cones or underneath, and that's what it's FLIR. That's what thermal is. But I've mixed thermal FLIR with IR and UV. And full spectrum as well. So you've got a combination of all those frequencies at once, scanning the skies all at once. And it's the frequencies that our eyes cannot see. So if you flick it off back to normal camera mode, which I have done live, you see nothing. But if you flick it onto all these spectrums, you instantly see these things. It's totally incredible. And if you then carry around a nice, high-quality 100mm thermal lens, which I do, and put this on the front of my other invention I've made that combines all these frequencies together, it's easy to manage and hold and give to people. But you can also put this combination of equipment onto the back of my telescope I've made. And that telescope is mirrors specially configured for me by a lovely company called Orion Optics in the UK. And this gentleman's called John Swell. And I remember when I first met
John, do me a favor and back away from the mouthpiece on the phone a little bit more.
Is that better?
I think so. Yes. Right, you're a little too close. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm going to have to get a professional mic set up like yours, I think. But
doing well. Don't worry. Yeah, all right, so Orion in the UK. Okay.
Yeah, you've heard all what I said about Orion Optics in the UK. And so basically, they're an incredible company that do specialized, mirrors, which they configure, custom mirrors. Uh-huh. And those actually mirrors are custom to the UV spectrum, and they're sent off to a lab to be properly configured. You get a certificate with it. I've got certificates, and it was only through an incredible person called Rex. I don't know if I've got permission to say his last name, but he knows who he is. He's listening. He sent me a present for the cost of these mirrors, and he helped me get a mount. So you remember I told you I had a mount in the beginning that the Navy used to use to track satellites and these spacecraft. Yeah. It was a Paramount ME. That's what I used to have, and I was borrowing to do all this. But this very nice person called Rex brought me a mount from America that was sent to Germany and then to me, called a Planewave L350. That can slew and track up to 50 degrees per second, and sometimes even up to 100 degrees per second, depending
this
on
sounds
the
sounds like, John, this sounds like military-grade tech that you put together.
Yes, yeah. Oh, it's research-grade. You can't just go to a shop and buy this. That's why I went through quite a procedure to get the actual equipment. When Rex got it, it was ordered for me. They wanted to know who I was. So you and me know that I've been through a lot of things in my life, and there's a few identities to the situation, which I won't go into. So the research grade equipment, I filled in who I was and my address. They sent it out, and on the way out, they cancelled it and got it back. The first time, and put the money back into an account that it was paid for. Then, when I complained to the person that's helping me, they sent one out. It got to me broken. wait another month, and they sent out one from, it was very nice, the most amazing, you know, kindest person you could think of in Germany. He gave me one of his own stock that worked, and he checked it, and it came out, worked perfectly. And that is a special company that a specialist in providing these sort of things to, you know, research grade university, you know, sort of organizations all over the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want me to say his name, but he knows who he is. He's a gentleman.
Well,
so I got it.
Yeah, you've had some wonderful people step into your life. As I said earlier, you got noticed early on, and it's only obviously gotten better and better. These are really quality people. They understand what you're doing, and your brilliance in optics.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Her Majesty the Queen, for instance, noticed my talent, and back in the 2000s, right up to, unfortunately, a year before Her Majesty the Queen, rest in peace, passed away. She was writing to me, I think you've got a copy of it, and the Royal Astronomer was even amazed and was thankful for all of the spacecraft and space intelligence that I was gathering, sending it to the Queen. And her dear husband was very interested in that. And even we got to visit the palace. Robert Watts, who's the Hollywood producer, got summons there to...
I remember when you first met the Queen, and you were picked up in a car, I believe, and driven to her. Anyway, so she wrote to you up until a year before she passed. That is remarkable.
And then an incredible story where her son, the King now, wrote to me recently, which I think you've got a copy of. And the King wrote to me thanking me. The story happened where my SAS buddy was dying in front of me, and I remembered that he was the Queen's guard, and he guarded the Queen, and he once told me a funny story before he was ill, that he was once guarding outside, and he was told that he was going to go to a function in the evening to meet the Queen Mother. And he was sitting there at the function table, and the Queen Mother said, when the servant come up and poured like one measure of port into her drink, glass, and went off, and the Queen Mother went really angry and shouted back, "I want three measures," really angrily. I got my SS buddy to keep on saying that, and I got it to the point where I made him so angry because I asked him to say it too much. It kept his mind going till the medics turned up, and they said if you hadn't have done that, he'd have died. So that's I told that to the King, and then the King wrote back to me saying, "What wonderful memories of his mother and grandmother! Yeah. Thank you so much." He was so happy, and since then he's been writing to me as well and thanking me for everything. And I think you've got a copy of the Queen when she arranged with Malta. So I'm now in Malta, which I've got to tell you about. That they're the most incredible people in Malta. I've been going there.
Malta is a very interesting place. Very few know what's going on there, but you do.
And me and anyone that wants to come, especially a gentleman called Raph Xavier on Facebook, he's controlling and making a company called X1 Ops, and it's collecting data and freely giving it to the world, not keeping it like MUFON and everybody else. They hide it. He's going to have it.
Yes,
on
they
a map.
Do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, so on a map, if someone reports it to X1 Ops, basically it'll be put up on a map, and then if you click it, there's your report for everyone in the world to see.
Wow.
So basically, the hotspot in Malta, there's a place called Ramala Bay in the Mediterranean in Malta called Ramala Bay. And this place, they've got a resort there, which is called Ramala Bay Resort, okay? And Ramala Bay Resort is one of the most exclusive hotels. I would say more than a five-star, but they registered as a four-star. But I'm telling you, they're as cheap as a four-star, but they're five-star. I'm telling you, they're brilliant. Anyhow, because we've been going there, this summer just gone, I took my SS buddy and my wife on my 26th wedding anniversary. And
really? The, well, congratulations.
Yeah, yeah, it's lovely. She's bored this love it a bit. But so basically, yeah, we went on the anniversary and I got a knock on my door and it was a beautiful seafront looking, you know, balcony, beautiful place. And knocking on the door and I was told the owner of the hotel would like to see you. And I went, oh, really? Okay. And I went along and we go in the office and he says, I hear that you like telescopes. I goes, yeah. And I've got one with me because he knows I bring it with me. It's a horrific ordeal every time to drag up a little telescope, you know. On
How big is your scope, John? Is it eight?
The one I transport is about an 8-inch that I try and put on a trolley. Yeah. So, right. But it's so worrying under the hold. You remember they smashed it last time on the way back?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, yeah. So anyhow, we're in his office, and he goes, would you like, we're Ramla Bay Hotel Resort, and we're a family business. We've known you for 26 years. Mm-hmm. We own a construction company, and we're building a brand new 5-star hotel next door. We're building a Japanese-themed garden on the roof. Would you like to have your telescope in a rooftop room up there? I goes, really?
Oh,
and they said, I said, yes. I said, I'd even give you this telescope. And he said, that's so kind of you. And it's going to be an AI automated one. So when I come home in England, we're making up an app. So anyone that goes to the hotel in Ramla Bay will be given an exclusive app to go on their phones.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
And then
you've had such wonderful things, John. Let me, if I can, I want to go ahead and finish up. I want to steer over toward the images and have everyone pull up that photos article I did. And we'll look at some pictures. And I think it's going to be very helpful for people who are new to John Walson. Yeah. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah, so just finishing up, the gentleman that owns the hotel said, so we're going to give you the option to have your telescope up on the Japanese-themed garden, which is beautiful, isn't it, Japanese telescopes and everything else. Yeah. Work beautifully. So when someone enters the hotel, they'll be given a code. They can enter that into a free app. And then if they like astronomy, they can every night log on and see the planets, the stars, and the view. The view from the hotel is looking out across the horizon of Africa because Malta's situated right, hop and a skip and a jump from Africa, and then you've got Europe on your left and then back to England behind you. So it looks right out across the sea, across Africa, which when all the planets go up and go down, they go down over that part of the world. So the best sort of, it's about 70 to 80 degrees is the best to look at planets. The space station, that's the elevation you look at, you understand. So when it goes down low at England, you still can see a bit of it if you're in Malta because you're ahead in time. And it's not so low. Does that make sense in elevation?
Yeah, no, I got it. So, I got it. I understand.
So further away you are, the better you are from England.
Yeah. I got it.
England's well. It's horrible. It's muggy. It's wet. It's no good for telescopes. So the best place is where it's going to be. And when that
I remember you used to kind of not complain, but you'd grumble a little bit. You'd sit out all night up on these hills, and it was cold and damp.
It was horrible. And then that's why I asked politely, could anyone help just get like a little old van that I could sit in and not freeze to bits. Why I'm providing this for free.
Right,
to cut a long story short, when that all works out and we're doing it, you know, from England, and it's controlled via the computer software, it's all set up, ready to go. And Marcel King, you remember? Remember Marcel King?
Yeah.
Marcel? Yeah. Marcel's a wizard, and he has made all these...
He's still around. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he wanted to be here, but he can't because he's working, so he's going to hear all this. And it would have been great if he was here. Anyhow, Marcel King has done the computer control program and a little computer with me, which is right here. It's the size of your a calculator sort of thing. And you stick that on the actual telescope that I leave in Malta, and you leave it on. And what we're going to do, we're going to leave it attached to a power pack that's always charging. So if the hotel has a power cut, it won't
Got
go
it.
Off. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So anybody, John, anybody will be able to, in time, get an app and be able to join in and look at the live imagery from the telescope.
That's right. We've designed the whole worldwide version ready, but we're going to test the hotel version first.
Uh-huh.
And then, as I said, Marcel's created all the software. I've tested it with him. It works. He's controlled my equipment from his home, and he lives quite some way from me. So there'll be no problem. I'll go there with him. We'll install it, and then we'll come home. We'll control it, or he could go home. I'll wait there.
Terrific.
And, you know, test it works. When we get that going, I'll let them, Rex in America, I'll give him the code to log on and try my one in the garden that he bought for me. And then when that works, I'm going to take a really good one, a big one in a van, all the way to Malta, and put the big one on top of that hotel.
Fun. That'll be phenomenal. Okay,
I mean, what invention for a TV company to follow me doing it. How about
yes,
that?
It should. No, this is a documentary. It should be done. Do you have anybody who's doing it?
It should be a documentary. If anyone is out there, any filmmakers, I could mention a few, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get hold of me.
This is an easy one. This is a good one.
Let's follow me during this journey, because no one's done it. No one. And it's worth it for the world to watch for free. If I told you what you can see from that hotel in Malta, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. I haven't even had a chance to put it up online. I've been sitting out on the balcony. And if anyone goes to that hotel, it's called Ramla Bay Resort, get a room that's facing towards where the sun rises. That's the end of the hotel. You get a balcony, then you can see left across one way, right in front of you, which is where the sun rises, and then also towards Africa, at the end of the hotel. So then when you look towards where the sun rises, because you're looking out in a different direction as if you were where you are, Jeff. You see a different parts of the sky. You understand that, don't you? Yeah. So I'm not kidding you. There's,
yeah, but pull off from the phone a little bit again. You get a little close again. Back up.
It's like a freeway up there, Jeff. It's like a literal, like a freeway up in space.
Now,
I'm
we're
not
talking
you.
About human satellites. We're talking about other things up there that are extremely busy. The freeway.
That's to be changed. That's. I won't comment because it will incriminate a higher authority. But it's. I'm joking.
Very good.
It's got to be enough. It's got to be proven first. Yeah, and we're going to. Well, I can prove it, but the point is, the stuff up there. If you saw it zipping in and out of a certain part of the sky, it's doing 90-degree turns up and down, and I've got on video, which I've got to send you. I was filming the moon in the day off of the Dingle Cliffs in Malta. It's near the US Embassy in Malta, away from the airport on the edge of the island. There's a, you can Google it, everybody, the US Embassy in Malta. There's some cliffs at the back of there, and I was having a nice time just sitting there peacefully, and I was just looking across the sea with my thermal infrared UV equipment recording. I panned up to the sky, and the moon wasn't supposed to be there, by the way. It had gone. Yeah, it had risen, it had gone, and it was about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It shouldn't have been there. I come across the moon, okay? And it was low over Africa. It hadn't disappeared and gone around the world and been on the other side for you. It was still there, okay? And that's the truth, and I've got it on film. And
what the hell? What's going on?
Yeah, no, seriously, mate. And it's date, you know, time stamped on my thermal equipment, okay?
Yeah, I know you don't play games. I know you're serious, but that sounds a little bit. That's
anyhow,
a little bit
I'm
wild.
The moon,
yeah.
And I'm going, oh my God, the moon's out. It should be around your side of the earth, yeah? Right? Okay. Anyhow, I'm filming away. And I thought, what was that? Something shot straight behind the moon, went down. It was about as big as a crater, about, it's got to have been, similar to about 2 or 3 miles wide, this object, straight down. Within 4 seconds, I'm thinking, it's going to hit the sea. It didn't hit, it went straight. straight down in front of Malta into the Mediterranean Sea. No splash, no sound, just straight down from the moon into the sea. I filmed it all happening within 4 seconds. I've got it on film.
That's amazing. And I don't, yeah, for those of you listening, don't discount these. Just understand, do some research on John, his career, and what he knows. I don't know if things find you, John, or you find them sometimes, I wonder.
Well, I'll tell you who can prove that what I just said is true, because she recorded this and it's split into two. So I'm going to give you, everybody, I've got permission to tell you her name now, because she's got a website, okay?
Okay.
And she owns this manor house, and I'm just going to get the website name for you so that you can go there and contact her and ask her, am I telling the truth? Did she hold my equipment? Did it do, you know, amazing turns in seconds that aircraft can't do? Did it split into two?
Sure.
And on her Facebook, she's named one actual name, but she's actually also, her real name will come up, you know, obviously, on the web page. You know, people have nicknames, you know what I mean, on Facebook.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do it out of privacy or just for a laugh. But she's a lovely, lovely lady. She's been doing this actual hosting for conferences, you know, for how many years? I would say at least 20 years in the manor house. And she's the kind of person that she's not a liar. Everybody knows that she will tell you the truth. And she was literally holding my equipment, and she was just amazed. On Facebook, I'll spell you her name, is called, it's TRINI, and then space, and it's WEENIE, okay? And she is a lady that...
That's rewind that.
Yeah.
TRINI, and then just a space, yeah. not a hyphen, just a space, right? And then the last name is
WEENIE.
That sounds like Trini Weenie.
Yeah, Toppatini, you know, the song. Anyhow, she's lovely. She studied at a university as well. She's a very, very clever lady.
Right, I'm sure. Now, can we do this, John? Let me do this.
Yeah.
First, one quick question. The early...
Yeah.
Space machines, spacecraft, that was parked in orbit up there that you used to image way back in the day, in the 2005, 2007, whatever. Now, I'd like everybody to go to Guess, look under John Walson, look at the bottom of the information below his name, says photos. Click on that.
Yeah.
Load that page. It says spaceships parked in orbit around Earth. Photos and video. And you pull that up. This is from 2019, I see. Okay. Now, when you scroll down, we're going to go past the Chinook helicopter. That's a story we've done before, but we can do it again sometime. And start looking at these objects. Now, when they're first acquired, they look like a little twinkling star, a little star. And as John zooms in on them, this is back in the day now. This is not his current technology, but this is the earlier version. As he zooms in on a star, you begin to resolve into a ship, a craft, a machine. Look at these pictures. Look closely. Don't think Earth satellite. These are not satellites. These are big objects, as big as a jetliner in some cases. They're huge. Look at the definition, look at the angular synthetic construction. There's nothing organic or natural about these. These are all created ships or machines that have different jobs, different abilities, different capabilities. But scroll down and look at some of those pictures. They are astounding. Now, you took a picture once, John, of an item up there, which quite clearly appeared to have burned up. You remember the one? It looked like it burned.
Yeah.
Okay. It looked like there was an accident or something. I mean, there's a lot of drama up there. Just scroll down and look through these pictures. They're stunning. Then now they're up there. They're not satellites. Understand. I'm not saying they're E.T. flying saucers either. I'm saying these are machines. Who built them, who designed them, who put them up there. This does trace back to William Tompkins somehow, some way. I don't have the exact definition of how it works, but this is Bill Tompkins. Go ahead.
I've spoken to him. I interviewed him before he died, and I've got him on film and tape. I should have sent it to you.
Oh, how nice. I'd love to see it, I had Bill on the program for over 53 hours.
And he's such a lovely man. I'm not kidding. He actually said to me, he looked at my pictures and video, and he said, that's what he was designing in the think tank.
That's right.
In the 1950s.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the exact words. That's what we were designing in the think tank, without a doubt. I mean, specifically, actually picked one specific one out. Now, if that's that, I can prove that he's telling the truth, because Jerry Gilmore from Cambridge University back in 2007.
Oh, was he in the astrology department? Not astrology, astronomy.
He's the head professor of experimental astronomy.
That's right.
He's the head,
I remember
the
name.
There. I got my video and some high-resolution stills, and I sent it to him. He took about a week and got back to me and said that he specifically identified them in his email as the Secret Star Wars Project. Before he mentioned, quote, he identified them as the Secret Star Wars Project, he specifically said, congratulations, you've discovered on how to use a camera, a very high frame rate, like his colleagues are doing, filming the exact same things like his colleagues are doing in space. He said, I was using the same method as he did, he called it lucky imaging, which it is luck, in the beginning. And so you learn how to do it. And the easiest way, a few seconds for me to tell you how to do it, is get a gem night vision tube, which is what soldiers use. You look up and you can see the whole stars, can't you? Anything that moves, you can see it. You stick that on the side of a telescope, and you get some software called video closed loop tracking, okay? And
that video closed loop tracking. Right.
What it does, it allows you, if you've got an LX200 or Planewave L350 or a Paramount ME, they do it for those as well. It lets you be able to use the software, which is a video. You imagine, like, you put a video camera on a gun. You look through the video camera and sight the gun up. So when you look through the video camera and look at the bunny rabbit, you shoot the bunny rabbit looking through the video camera, and the bullet hits the bunny rabbit. That's the simplest way I can describe it. So if you've got a video camera or a gem light vision tube on the side of your telescope, then what you do, you use that to, because it's very good at finding an object, to find an object buzzing through the sky. Does that make sense? That's what you use. Then when you are locked into it, you know, like the new DJIs, you can touch the screen if you're tracking it and you're running along and your drone will follow you. You can touch the screen with your finger and a box will highlight it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then the drone follows you. Have you seen that?
No, not personally, no.
You know drones that follow people when they want to do a movie, yeah?
Yes.
And you can run along, and your DJI drone, you can have on your app, and you watch your drones.
It'll follow you. I understand.
So all you do with the software that you get for the telescope, you get a highlighted box. You highlight that box around the object that the gem.
The object, and it tracks it for you. Okay.
Exactly, and it's so simple, but you've got to have a good mount. That's why Rex got me this Planewave Alpha.
Yeah, you hear it. Now, for everyone listening who has a telescope, you know what a mount is. That's what we're talking about. The mount for the scope is almost as important as the scope itself, the mount.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. I'm thinking people know about this. Sorry. So basically, the mount it can come in two versions or other versions. A forked arm mount, which if you buy an LX200, it comes in a forked mount. I've got a Plain Wave L350, which if you Google that, everybody, Plain Wave L350, and I'm telling you, the CEO of that company was absolutely brilliant. He, when he found out I had a broken one, with it, you know, he was on the phone to everybody sorting it out. He's brilliant in the Plain Wave instruments in
nice,
America.
Nice.
Absolutely brilliant.
Nice.
Lovely man.
For all of you out there who are looking at the pictures now, and if you're not, please do. This goes back years and years, but is the sky, you mentioned how busy it is up there, John. Are there more of these things now up there than ever before? Would you say that?
Yes, without a doubt, especially over Europe. So when you're in, I don't know if this is classified, when you're looking out across Malta towards Europe, over Europe, there's a lot, and due to the fact with the war in Ukraine, I would imagine there's so many over there spying on each other, and low orbit ones, and even lower than low orbit ones, because you can get ones that are actually very classified drones that can go up so high, because of what they're doing, they're keeping up high to keep away from the Russian defense electronic warfare that will knock them out of the sky, because the Ukrainians are shooting out, and Mossad can tell you this, were shooting out like drones, like DJI ones, with hand grenades on, and going over a tank and dropping them in air, but the Russians have got really clever and invented, you know, electronic warfare that will just stop any normal, cheap, electronic DJI drone from coming into their airspace. So now, the Ukrainians have got clever with high-classified, higher drones that can go very high, go across the target, then drop. So they're out of the sort of like way of the electronic warfare. Does that make sense?
Yeah, don't say anything that's going to get you in trouble here. But I want all of you to understand that there is so much going on over your head.
Whoops.
You would not believe it. You wouldn't.
Exactly.
It's that crazy up there. And
over my head, getting shot in the eye. The people that did that to me, thank you very much. You know, blinding me in the left eye. That's very
kind.
Are
you blind, John, in your left eye completely?
In my left eye, almost blind because of that. Do you remember a helicopter come over? It's in the book, by the way. Everybody,
well, that was the flash. That was the light, the flash, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It was probably a laser or something. Was it a laser?
What it is, it's one of the most highest power. It's called sunlight, and it is like it. Really, that's why they call it sunlight. It's basically for crowd control or searching for missing people. And it says in the documents when you're trying to use it, do not point it at a person. It's illegal, number one. If you point it at a car tire at 20 feet, it can set the car fire on the tire on fire. So when they came over me, I heard this rumbling, and I just went out the front door.
Hold on for everybody out there. John's at home. And he hears this rumbling. It's a double rotor, huge Chinook helicopter made here in the U.S. It's run by British Special Intel Services, whatever. And it went right over John's house, and he's looking up. And on the bottom of this Chinook helicopter is a flash of light. Now, we have that picture somewhere showing the exact moment that light flashed. And it actually partially blinded your left eye. I remember when this happened.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get better. I never even asked.
No. And basically what happened was, luckily I've got CCTV on the top and the side of my house. And
yeah.
It caught the exact moment of me standing outside filming them, hitting me with the beam. So it caught them doing it with my CCTV of my house. What I did was I went and contacted the low-flying regulation authorities and sent them the video, sent them the complaint. They covered it up.
Yeah.
They literally covered it up. Evil people.
Yeah.
Anyhow, cut a long story short, I ended up with a burnt face because in the manual it says it's illegal to point it at a person when they're trying.
Were they trying to – John. Were they trying to blind you in both eyes to shut you down?
Yes,
that's my guess.
Yeah, that's my guess too. I've told the Queen this and the King, and, you know, people may think I'm bonkers. I have, and I've got the letters to prove it. And they're nothing to do with it. The Queen has nothing to do with it at all. It's a faction of people that is a private military complex. I mean, you get the military, which are lovely men, friends with them. They're nothing to do with it. So let's get this straight for military guys listening. It's not the military doing this. It's private industry, military.
It's the military-industrial complex. It's the same thing over there that we have here. It's a global organization of people who make a living killing people, basically, and inventing ways to do it.
Yeah, don't confuse it with the good guys. I'm not about the military.
No.
No, it's private industrial. It's the ones that they're trying to bring out in Congress that are, you know, the wonderful people that are out, like, that were recently in Congress, that are in contact with these people, and they're trying to get them out to come to Congress. That's the ones that are hired privately, that are used to cover up, to conceal, to make these man-made also craft and objects up there. And then there's three. You've got to distinguish which ones we're talking about. The ones that you see zipping about are very clever. I'll give you an example. Back in 2007, Jerry Gilmore, the professor of Cambridge University...
I remember when you sent me his letters to you. I remember.
Yeah. There's letters in the book. Please go to Amazon and get my book. It's so cheap. It's price cheap, so everyone can read it. We're making no profit.
Yes, let me endorse that a little bit more. Hold on. The Amazon link under John's name goes to his book.
Yeah.
Fast, F-A-S-T, Far Above Space and Time. That's his new book. Yeah. John Wilkie played a huge role in getting this book produced. Yeah. It is a book that you will love to have on your coffee table, because you're actually going to pick it up and read it. It's that fascinating.
Exactly.
You can't put it down.
And it's got pictures, too, for people who can't read. And basically, I'm not talking about the people that are listening. I'm talking about the skeptics that don't read. It's got pictures.
No, it's a fabulous picture book, in addition to storytelling. And the stories are real.
Yeah, and it's quite so cheap, we're making no profit. So any profit that is made, I've said it, send to my friend Rex, so it can pay him back for the nice gift he got me of the mounts.
Very nice.
So basically, and if there's any left, I'm going to give it to charity. And so please, everyone, get this book to help us progress and for you to understand the truth, because it's out there in that book. Getting back
look at the pictures that you're looking at now. Scroll down, look at the pictures, look at those objects, and you figure it out.
There's hundreds more than that in the book. Much better quality in the book. There's a colored version, which is just a few dollars more. Anyhow, getting back to Jerry Gilmore, he wrote in 2007 that basically you've got an object that the Americans built, and it was it was a sphere, and it was about as big probably as what you might call a sort of half the size, about like a car wheel. And this car wheel,
John, we lost that. How much? How big? A car? An automobile?
A four-wheel drive truck.
Okay, a little bit bigger than a passenger car.
Yeah.
All right.
And then also down to the size of their wheels. You know their wheels in a 450?
Four
350, 450. The size of their circumference of their wheels, they built like a sphere, that sort of size. So basically what would happen was he sent me a picture of it, and it was so, like, you know, incredible. It could shoot up. They used it to shoot up to the space station, around the space station, and around the Star Wars project, and back down to Earth to collect data. If there's anything wrong, or they could report anything wrong, they could relay it to everybody, you know, in space. They've got them up there, et cetera, et cetera. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, so these orbs that they're seeing around the ISS, the space station, and they call them UFOs, well, they're unidentified, but you're saying that we made them. We made those.
Exactly. They could be those. Now, I've been filming, and so has a lot of other people. Duncan Davis has been, I gave him a thermal camera. He's been filming these. I've been filming these. Marcel King's been filming these. The lady that runs UFO Academy, that's that lovely lady, Trini Weenie, right?
Got
she
it.
Runs, it's UFO Academy, and it's in Watford. She's got that place that I was talking to you about.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's basically a manor house, and she also recorded it, and hers split into two. Now, that lot that split into two might not have been ours, because I don't know of anything that can actually hold its shape and go at 90-degree turns and everywhere that she was filming, and then split into two. And she's got it on film, and it's on my YouTube page, and it's called, the movie's called, obviously, her name, and then Catherine, I'll just go to it here, and I'll tell you the actual...
if you just joined us, everybody, and hopefully you were here from the beginning, but this is, we're talking to John Walson. Yes. And look under his name and guests. There's several links there. They're all worthy of your time. And buy his book. It's that good. Now, he's telling us there are three kinds of things that are flying around up there. One is ours. Yeah. One is clearly not ours. We won't say whose it is, but it's not ours. Yeah. And then go on from there. What's next? The third one.
Yeah. The third one is a combination of theirs and ours. Obviously, the third one I was going to say, it's been here forever. So before we started ruining the planet, it's already been here, and there'd been something in the spectrum I'm filming in that we have not recognised because we haven't seen it. And it's only recently, since the good boys in their aircraft releasing all these thermal, drone footage, we've just started to see it really on the news, haven't we? Yeah? That's why, basically, people have started to start questioning it. It's gone to Congress. And when more people can use my app that's going to be connected to the telescope to be able to use it to see.
Wait, when do you think, what's your time frame on that, John? 6 to 12 months, something like that?
No, the app's ready to go. Marcel King and me have used it. It works. It's just getting someone to put it on a platform for worldwide. So if there's anybody out there that wants to do something good for the world, contact either John on Facebook, which is the John in the United States.
John Wilkie.
Jeff,
yeah.
That's it. Yeah, him. Or X1 Ops, which is easy to find, or myself or Jeff, and try and arrange someone that can help get our app worldwide easily so that we can then share it with the world and people can line up to use the telescope and the equipment to search for themselves to find these things when we're sleeping, because we need to sleep.
How exciting. How much fun will that be?
Oh, it'll be amazing, won't it?
Yeah, that's quite a visionary project. The pictures, again, that I'd like you all to take a look at, just keep looking at them. The more you look, the more you see. Now, remember, these we think that most of these, what, John, what can we say? Who built most of these? Us?
Well, I've actually got a friend that's just come online that said he can talk to you about it. That's the one with X1 Ops, if you want to hear him. I'm not sure if you do, but if you've got 5 minutes, he can give you a rundown.
No, we're just about out of time. We have a minute left this visit.
Yeah.
But these things in the pictures, how would you sum it up? Who made them? What's the easiest way for people to approach these very unusual machines? Who made them?
Well, go to farabovespaceandtime.com and you will find out. On farabovespaceandtime.com, we have got everything on there for you to answer all your questions on who, what might have made them. Farabovespaceandtime.com. Go there and your questions will be answered.
All right. Farabovespaceandtime.com. And the answers are there. Again, if you buy any books at all, buy this book. It's worth every penny of it. It's fascinating. And if you show these pictures to most people, they won't believe it. It's almost unbelievable to them. But then you show them a little more, ask them to start looking, and they begin to see all the intelligent design, and then they start to think. And that's when you've got their attention.
John, thank you
for being here. Great to talk with you again, my friend. It's been a long time. Let's get together again soon, and we'll keep everybody up to date on the app and the hotel telescope. That'll be really fun to do.
Part two. I'll hold you to that, Jeff.
You got it. Okay, my friend.
Bye.
Thank you, John. Good night. John Leonard Walson, and he's just a wizard, truly. And I hope you can get this book. I'm waiting for my copy. It'll be here any time now. This is going to be a subject we'll continue following, the idea of putting a telescope with an app up on that hotel on Malta and acquiring these kinds of things. How much fun could that be? These are very big things up there, and the government will never tell you. We will. John will, and has been for a long time. And thanks again to John Wilkie for everything you've done, John, to help John Walson get the book together and so many other things. All right, that's our program for you tonight. We'll be back in 21 hours. Talk to you then.